Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
All right. Hour number two of The Drive underway. Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Bear, Brandon cruising with you here. Monday afternoon edition of the show. And boy, you know, we're 5 weeks away from getting the bracket. 5 weeks from today. College basketball season flies by, man. And you know, when we start talking brackets, it's time to call Jerry Palm at CBSSports.com, expert bracketologist. Jerry, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Hey, doing very well. Thanks for your time. And Tennessee, number one overall today. Jerry, it's been 10 years since we've been number one. What do we do now? We forgot. We forgot what to do here.
I don't know. I'm a Purdue fan. I'm not the right person to ask. We've been high, but we haven't quite made it to number one. So.
Well, Tennessee makes it back. It, I guess, number one overall, you know, the easy question, easy answer, you know, what do we do to stay here, keep winning? But your thoughts on Tennessee and where they're at right now?
Well, you know, it's not really a surprise, I don't think, because I think we all thought Tennessee was going to be really good coming into the season after the kind of year they had last year and with the guys that were returning. And they have not disappointed. That's a fantastic start to this season. The first, I guess, half, we're about halfway through. You know, already beaten Gonzaga, you know, beat Louisville, win at Florida. You know, the only loss to full strength Kansas, which was 9-0 with Udoka Azubuike in the lineup. Of course, he's out for the year now, so that loss may look worse as the season goes on because of that. But the committee will know the quality of the Kansas team that Tennessee played, and it's as strong a resume as anybody else has right now, and you know, they're just playing great basketball.
You know, when Rick Barnes was sent packing by Texas 4 years ago, did any part of you see him being able to, you know, not only resurrect his career but flourish the way he's doing right now?
No, I would have to say that. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a good coach, so it's not a surprise that he's having success, but this level of success is probably beyond what anybody would have guessed at Tennessee. I mean, largely because it just doesn't happen very often there. It's a difficult conference to do this well in because you've always got Kentucky you're dealing with. But he's done a great job there, getting good players in and getting them coached up. You know, it's a team that has – it kind of reminds me of, you know, last year's Purdue team, which was a team that started four seniors. It was a real, you know, veteran group of guys that were, you know, very good college basketball players, but not so good that anybody was leaving for the NBA. And that's really what you've got there at Tennessee, is a veteran group of guys that are great college players, but that also, you know, were stuck around with the program. And now you've got an experienced group of very talented guys that are doing quite well.
So take me through the weekend as a bracketologist. We start with Michigan losing at Wisconsin Saturday. Tennessee hangs on against an Alabama team that already has a couple of bad losses on their resume. I see where you've got them in your first four out
right
now. Obviously, they had the loss to Texas A&M. And then Duke beats Virginia later that night, and there were some Tennessee fans, well, you know, Is Duke going to be hang on number one by virtue of that, or does the loss to Syracuse cancel that out? Obviously, it did. How do you grade these top four teams, Tennessee, Duke, Virginia, I guess Gonzaga, as it stands right now?
Well, then we really left out Kansas, which lost to West Virginia that day, too, because Kansas, at least in my bracket, was still a number one seed until they lost to West Virginia. So, yeah, the weekend was... It was a tough weekend for the top teams. I think I heard six of the top 10 teams lost last week. So, you know, Tennessee did well to win a tough one with Alabama, but it's a, you know, Virginia, Michigan, Tennessee, you know, Gonzaga, all one-loss teams, all very strong. Gonzaga's schedule isn't as strong as the others. Michigan and Virginia have all had, you know, significant quality wins. Of course, Virginia's only lost at Cameron to Duke, and Michigan's only lost at Wisconsin. So those are all really, you know, high-quality teams. And there isn't a whole lot of separation in terms of tournament resumes among all of those teams. And Duke is part of that as well, in part of the teams that they beat. When they lose to Syracuse at home without two of their starters, and it's not like the loss doesn't count. It does count. The reason they're not overall number one is because they lost that game. But some consideration, of course, is given in those situations.
Yeah, and that's the challenge with evaluating Duke right now without Trey Jones. It looks like, you know, unlike Azubuike, he's going to come back at some, it sounds like, right now.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he could be back the next game. They even talked about possibly playing him against Virginia, although ultimately that didn't happen. But fortunately, his injury is not as severe as originally thought when he was hurt in the Syracuse game.
So as we look at the brackets now, and, you know, there's the bracketology lexicon that certainly you're familiar with, but fans have to refamiliarize themselves. You know, last year it was the quadrants was kind of the new thing.
Right.
And this year you've got the RPI is out, the NET is in. Can you kind of unpack that for us a little bit and explain it?
I'll try. Okay. It's hard because the NET is a secret formula.
Oh.
So, you know, all of the effort the NCAA has put into making their process more transparent has taken a significant step backwards with going back to a secret formula. But the NET has got five components, the most important of which is called the Team Value Index. That is the results-oriented part of it, which is similar to what the RPI is. It's just who you played, who you played, where you played them, and how you did. But the formula for the Team Value Index is a secret. We don't even get to see the raw numbers on that. And then the second most important component is something called net efficiency, which is a fancy analytic-sounding term for uncapped margin of victory. The second most important factor is basically running up the score. And that's obviously what distinguishes this from the RPI. The RPI never had a score component to it. The other three components is your record, your weighted record, the way it used to be in the RPI, and then they have a capped margin of victory is the least important factor, which is capped at 10. Those last three factors seem to be redundant with what's going on, most likely in the Team Value Index and certainly with net efficiency.
So Jerry Palm dropping some knowledge here this afternoon, the net formula, which replaces the RPI, is what one of the factors the committee will be using when they come up with their brackets. And evidently, the formula for the Team Value Index is a secret. It's the McDonald's secret sauce, Jerry. This sounds like something that will be controversial over the next month or so.
Well, I mean, it's just really unfortunate that, you know, they feel like they can't share with teams how they're being judged exactly, and that's I don't think it's really fair to these teams. Now, the net is being used the same way that they use the RPI, which is that it is not a factor in the sense of making decisions. They don't sit there in the committee room and say, well, this one team is 10 spots higher in the net than the other, so we're going to take them just because of that. It has no real impact on the decision-making process that way. What they do with the net is group teams. So they'll look at how you did against the top 50, top 100, you know, in the net, and actually now they've broken that into quadrants, but the net is how quadrants are defined now instead of the RPI.
Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com bracketologist with us. So just one more time, Jerry, like what are, for fans, bottom line, what are some of the things to keep in mind that, and, you know, in addition to the net that the committee will be looking at, what are the most important factors?
Well, it's going to be much the same as what they have always looked at. It's largely the strength of your schedule and how you did against your schedule. The net is going to be the means that they use to determine the quality of your opposition. So, you know, being able to beat teams, good teams, and especially away from home, because the tournament is played away from home, are the kinds of things that you can do that really help you. And then, you know, losing to teams that are not very good, and especially losing at home to teams that are not very good, are the kinds of things that can hurt you. And the more good teams you play, the better. So it's in that sense, it hasn't really changed. What has changed is the way they measure the quality of your opponent.
Ed, the SEC got eight teams in last year. Is, you know, I would imagine from a, when we talk about strength of schedule, that for Tennessee and any other team in the league trying to get in, that won't be a problem or a detriment to anybody's case this year.
Well, certainly the conference schedule shouldn't be. The conference has got enough good teams that, you know, you're not really going to hurt yourself playing anyone within the league. Even some of the teams at the bottom of the league are not especially bad, that, you know, that they're, you know, a significantly negative peer strength schedule. So, no, I mean, it'll be the non-conference schedule that probably separates some of these teams amongst, you know, in terms of just the quality of your opposition.
All right, Jerry. Well, thanks for helping us sift through some of the madness as we start counting down the week. Again, 5 weeks from today, the brackets are out. Last thing, Jerry, we'll let you run. Should the Saints-Rams pass interference at the end, should that call be reviewable in professional football?
Well, yeah, I think in the postseason it should be, because it means too much. You know, the Rams won the game, had an opportunity to win the game that they didn't deserve because a referee blew a call. And they took advantage of it. You get to give them credit for that, but they got an opportunity they didn't deserve, and that's unfortunate.
I mean, it's almost like the end of the Tennessee-Alabama game. I don't know if you saw it Saturday, but you know, we got kind of a gift there, Jerry, a walk call against John Petty that maybe he shuffled his feet. I don't know how an official sees that in real time, but right in front of Avery Johnson, and you know, they got robbed, obviously. losing out on a Super Bowl trip, a little bit more meaningful than a regular season SEC basketball game.
But well, and there wasn't really a whole lot of doubt about this call. I mean, anybody who's ever seen a football game knows that that was a mistake. You know, so, you know, sometimes there's debate, you know, like the Edelman muff in the Kansas City game. You know, there's a debate about whether or not that actually happened, and you can like the call or not, but there was no debate about this. Everybody except the guy whose responsibility it was to throw the flag thought that was pass interference.
And then the guy immediately confirms it to Sean Payton at the end of the game.
The NFL head of officiating right after the game, yeah.
Yeah, he's up there. He's like, oh, they told me they blew the call.
Yeah.
And then the media, fans are sitting there, well, what do we do with that? I mean, it's just, that's unbelievable. All right, Jerry, appreciate it. We'll do it again soon, my man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Jerry Palm making his presence felt. You follow him at JP Palm on Twitter. Bear, what did you learn?
I've learned that this whole net thing.
Crazy, isn't it?
Lends itself to being very easily manipulated behind closed doors. Massage to do what they want to do as far as setting up groups for TV ratings and.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. And they've made it way more complicated than auto. I really think we need some music to go with the net.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Think of a net theme here.
Yeah.
Let's
get into the net.
Remember that Sandra Bullock movie from the 90s, back before we knew what the internet was really going to be?
Total smoke show.
Why would they? Why would they make the formula secret to the net? Do they not realize what kind of conspiracy theories that is going to engender?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you just said to Jerry, I thought they wanted to be more, or he said to you something about more transparent in how they do things.
It's going to be a little controversial, you know, and I don't think it matters so much for us unless we're talking about the difference between a one and a two seed, which might happen. But for those bubble teams, man, I want to know what the formula is.
Yeah.
You know, not just from a fan standpoint, but like Jerry said, if you're a coach, what do we have to focus on? You know, what are we doing here? Like, what's the – is it margin of victory? Because evidently, like, that's a big deal now, which I guess is good for us after we hammered a couple of teams to open up league play. But now you're going to have to run up the score. So you're up by 20 points. You look down that bench. Do I put the walk-ons in and win the game by 12 instead of 20?
No.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but then you got to weigh that out against what if my star power forward is going up for rebound and comes down and just lands on somebody's foot and twists his ankle and he's out for, you know, 6 weeks.
Well, plenty of time to worry about that. Today should be a day for celebration. The number one team in college basketball resides in Knoxville at the University of Tennessee. Rick Barnes and his band of merry men practicing this afternoon over at the Pratt Pavilion. Our Trey Wallace is on the scene. Vols go to Vanderbilt. Sold out Memorial Gymnasium. It's probably going to be a 50-50 type crowd. I'm sure there will be a lot of orange in there on Wednesday, but we all know what happened 10 years ago, Bear. Keep your guard up. Keep your guard up and keep your cup on, Vol Nation. Keep that thing on.
I threw mine away, Russ.
You're just...
I'm not going to live my life like that anymore.
What an idiot.
Well, whenever we drop one and you're crumpled in a heap, clutching your crotch.
The only way I'm crumpled into a heap,
reaching for a bag of iced peas,
is the first weekend of the tournament.
Sitting on a bag of frozen peas. Don't come crying to me, because you know what, Bear? You know what I'll say?
What will you say?
Yep. That's what I'll say, Randy. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. Back with more Fan Run Radio after this.
The Drive. Injured? Call 865-5.
Well, one of the things we like to do from time to time on the docket is to catch up with dockets of yore. Follow-ups, we call them in the biz. And, boy, we had a great one this fall. You might remember, Bear, Kennewick, Washington. Does that ring a bell, Brandon?
Sounds kind of familiar. What do we have going on up there?
Well, all charges have been dropped against Richard Delp, 35 years old. You remember Richard Delp?
I'm starting the name.
Brandon, you remember Richard Delp?
I still can't remember exactly what happened.
The charges have been dropped.
Did it involve drugs?
Well, perhaps. It's never been made quite clear, but the charges were having sex with a beaver.
Oh, Delp. Yeah.
Got off the hook. Got off the hook. 35-year-old was arrested on charges of felony animal cruelty and possession of methamphetamine after a woman said she saw him lying down with the animal with his pants undone.
Oh, my God.
The beaver had been run over, correct?
The woman said the beaver had been run over by a car but was still breathing. So she left to grab supplies to help the animal. When she returned, she found Delp with the animal and called 911. The beaver did not survive.
He got hit by a car and molested. No, he didn't survive, Russ.
After his arrest, Delp admitted to committing a sex act with the animal. In court, his lawyer requested a mental health evaluation for his client.
Okay, now things are getting a little bit clear. They got him off on a Section 8?
Well, the evaluation confirmed that Delp is incompetent to stand trial and is not likely to be restored to competency through treatment. He will remain at Eastern State Hospital.
Really, Eastern State?
Yeah.
That's what they used to call Lakeshore. It's weird.
Trying to determine what kind of mental disorder he has. And let's not forget the real victim here.
That poor beaver.
Beaver. I mean, think about it. Beaver,
had just gotten pounded by a car.
He gets run over by a car. It's lying there on the side of the road bleeding out. And he's like, you know what? Well,
there's some nice lady who's gone to get him help.
Yeah, you know, I've had a nice run. I've built some good dams, eaten a lot of good wood here. You know, it's been a nice run for me. But now it's looks like it's over. I'm just going to lay down my head and here on the side of the road. Wait. What's that? What? Oh, no. What's happening? Let me die in peace. Stop, Richard Delp. Put your pants back on. What are you doing?
What the hell is wrong with you?
Poor Beaver, man. I mean, a way to go.
All right, Russ.
Hit me with a car. Don't sexually assault me as I'm lying there dying out, bleeding out on the side of the road. Oh, and we have a rare breaking news edition of the docket.
SEC edition.
No. No Beaver sex involved. Darren McFadden, former NFL running back. I didn't even know he was out of the league. Boy, he was a great running back. The guy who invented the Wildcat, like the thing that everybody does now, oh, let's stick our running back. I hate the Wildcat. I just hate it. It was maybe because Tennessee
has never
been
good at it. I think it hurt the Saints yesterday.
Yeah. Darren McFadden arrested. He is found asleep at the wheel of his SUV at a Whataburger in Texas, arrested for drunk driving.
Brain surgeon.
Oh, and as Rick Butler noted, as Derek Dooley noted, when you found asleep at the drive-thru, you didn't fall asleep. You passed out. There's a difference here. He wasn't tired. He was hammered.
Yeah, he was plowed, plastered, three sheets of the wind.
Yeah, I mean, you're not.
He's drunk.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
Yes, Rick.
Can I add something to the story here?
Please.
According to TMZ, after McFadden had passed out at the wheel, he was woken back up. Then he got into a fight with multiple officers, and it says that multiple sources tell TMZ that McFadden's driver's side and passenger windows were smashed out during the incident.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
So at some point, they got into a
huge fight.
Wait,
was he fighting the cops or who?
He was fighting with the police.
Oh, no. Oh,
never.
And just started busting out windows of his own car.
Wait a minute. He busted out his own windows or they busted out the windows trying to get him?
I'd be willing to bet those windows got busted out.
I believe it said during the altercation.
Yeah, that means
like somebody seemed to have gotten smashed against the car.
Has anybody seen this? Happens at least once a month. Researching the docket, I found, somebody passed out in the drive-thru at a Taco Bell. You know, it's always like 3 in the morning and the guy's hammered and he gets passed out. Like, I've been, I'm a night owl, so every now and then you go out and hit up crystals or whatever. I've never seen this. Like, that to me would be like the most frustrating thing in the world, to be behind the guy who passes out in the drive-thru.
Well, because
especially if you're like cookout and you're like
hungry, man. You got to kill fourth meal.
You're like blocked in.
And here's Darren. Oh yeah. Imagine if you're blocked in.
It seems like a fender bender waiting to happen. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't put my car in park when I'm waiting. I just put my foot. I hold it
That's
on the brake.
Point, yeah.
And so if he's passed out, I bet his foot's coming off the brake. His car's just.
Or if he's so drunk, he's like one of those. It's taking forever.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to put it in park and rest my eyes for a minute. Bad decision.
Yeah.
Derek McFadden left the league in 2017.
Police will wake you up.
But yeah, like a Taco Bell. Once you start in the Taco Bell, there's no getting out of the drive-thru. None.
He was a thoroughbred, though, wasn't he? Once he got up, and especially when he was at Arkansas and early on in the league.
I just remember that game. Was it 07 when we played them? They won a national championship in 07, LSU did, and Arkansas beat them, I want to say, in like some classic overtime game where McFadden had like 300 yards or something. It was just unstoppable. It might have been the season after that.
Once he turned the corner and got up to full speed, you weren't going to catch him.
They started the whole Wildcat thing where he would line up and they would bring the receiver in motion, and like all the defenses in college football are like, we've never seen this before. What do we do? Like, because you got to guard against the jet sweep, and he'll either hand it off to that guy if you don't guard, you know, it's a pick your poison thing, or he'll just run up the middle and destroy you. And it took forever. Why have we never been good at the Wildcat? Have we ever been good?
Yeah. When we had AJ.
But that was like for 1 yard. Like if we had a fourth and goal, like Arkansas would do that and get 100 yards of offense a game out of that.
Yeah, the guys at the Tank say that we're real successful with it with Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, I guess so. That was a glorified Wildcat.
Like, I felt like it was kind of mean myself.
No, there's some truth to that. All right, that is the docket brought to you by OEB Law. You check them out online. WreckIntoACheck.com. OEB will come to you and turn your wreck into a check. We're going to take a quick break. Open up the phone lines, 865-546-8200, your number to get on The Drive. We're back with more after this.
The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Numero uno. Tennessee, number one again for the second time in school history, atop both the AP and the coaches poll today. See what Rick Barnes has to say, but I believe they're going to do a media thing tomorrow, as it is MLK Day as well. And did you see Florida State is already they got the cringeworthy the cringiest ML. There's always every MLK Day. There's always somebody on social media that's got to do the wrong thing, strike the wrong tone.
Yeah, I think photoshopping a
MLK doing tomahawk the chop.
Tomahawk chop, yeah, with the Nike Florida State glove. Yeah.
No. Was it the GIF of Seth Rogen, or not Seth Rogen? Who's the Jonah Hill doing the bro? No. Like it's. And it's hard to know what
idea.
It's hard to know what tone to strike sometimes. But like if you're
not that one, I mean we'll agree on
if
that.
If you're
one,
in doubt, just like don't do it.
No,
you know?
Yeah. Because I mean, once you put it out there,
they learned the lesson.
It is out there. Something I've learned numerous times.
They learned the lesson the hard way. You learned it the hard way, Barry.
Oh, I'm still learning it. I do stupid stuff all the time,
but not on social media. You're surprisingly like.
I'm very cautious.
You would think Bear, with all the awkward social situations he has gotten himself into here on the show and at the station, you would think like social media would just be a disaster. I don't think I've ever seen you get into any sort of inappropriate, other than, well, I won't even go there. But like, I think you've been very well behaved.
Like what? No.
I'm just gonna move on.
When?
I mean. You were a little quick with the block button this fall during the whole Maribel Catholic thing.
Oh, no. In consultations with an associate of mine, John Reed.
If that's the worst thing.
Talk Sports, best show in town, 10-1. You're on our station.
If that's the worst thing anybody can say about your social media habits, then you're doing better than most of us.
Well, all I can say is The Blount County Referees Association was impressed with some of those calls that got made in the championship games yesterday. Impressed.
That was pretty good. Pretty good, Bear. That was pretty good.
Utterly outstanding.
Thank you, sir.
Super Bowl is set. Rams Patriots got 2 weeks of hype now. A hype machine. Before we break down the game. Can we just take a moment, just a brief moment, to appreciate the greatness of Tony Romo? Whoever thought we'd be saying that?
Shut up.
Cowboys
shut
fan.
Up,
who is not a Cowboys fan? I didn't even think Cowboys fans liked him that much.
I like him less and less. I'm one of those people.
Really?
Yeah, I found it. Annoying.
And
it might have been different had he not been calling out the winning plays for that scumbag organization up there in Foxborough, Massachusetts, but he was, and it added to the torment. Because when you saw me last night,
but it's not his fault that
box.
The Chiefs couldn't stop it. Chiefs need to hire him. I mean, the guy was a very good quarterback, but rightly or wrongly, I think he probably will be remembered as a player for never leading the Cowboys to a Super Bowl. But already, I mean, in just 2 years as a broadcaster, he has already established himself as the best color analyst in football, college or pro, and I don't think there's a close second. There's nobody even approaching his level. And it's like, I just, you know, a lot of those guys, it's just like, whatever, you know, Chris Collinsworth, Jason
Witten. Yeah, but
you know,
those guys can't. And the only person I think that might be able to, I don't know if he would have the mic skills to do, because that's, to me, the truly impressive part is that he's able to describe what he's seeing. I think there's probably three or four of those guys that have, you know, just retired recently, quarterbacks, that could sit and, as quick as he does, analyze exactly what it is, the defense. Like, I think Peyton could do it.
Probably.
I just don't – I know that he could read and tell you exactly what will work in that situation.
Well.
But I don't know – I love pay, you know, Romo's gifted on the mic.
Yeah. No, and hey, man, I was like, when they announced that, I was like, oh, he's just a pretty face and a big name, whatever. But he is fantastic, man. Like,
yeah. It ain't easy what he does.
You know, and I always thought for those of us who grew up in the 80s and 90s, like John Madden was kind of the gold standard as just far as adding color to a game. But that ability to just look at the crystal ball and see everything coming before it happens is phenomenal, man. He's really good at that job. All right. I guess let's start with the Rams game. The call was horrible, yes. And I'm always of the opinion that it never boils down to one call.
He kind of did this.
But that was pretty darn close, man.
The one thing overriding about all of it is it definitely did cost him the game. But after the mistake was made, I think it's incumbent on Sean Payton to be able to, no matter how bad, and we all know it was bad, Coach. We all know it was horrible. But I felt like the more major breakdown was he couldn't get past it, and they looked off. For, you know,
yeah, I mean,
defensively, and then they're at series. Because they got the ball first in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And they just looked real – they never shook it.
The first play, I think it was, the handoff to Ingram where, okay, he gets stoned. Just go ahead and go down, man. Take the one-yard loss. But, no, he tries to bounce it outside and ends up losing, what, eight? And then
– Was that the one where he like, slung him?
Yeah.
It was Sue, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point I was driving. I was listening to it on the radio on the Westwood One that we were putting out.
How good! I listened to a lot of that too. How good is Kevin Harlan? While
he's incredible. We were talking about that at work because I was at my other job, and then I told my – I was like, hey, man, I got Westwood One on back here. I was like, we don't even go out front.
One thing I haven't heard anybody mention is that the series before the missed pass interference, and there's no doubt it was egregious. It could have been helmet to helmet. It certainly was pass interference. But the series before that, the Rams, there's a missed face mask on Jared Goff.
Yeah,
they would have had first
and
goal, would have been able to bleed the clock, score a touchdown, and go up 24-20. That would have changed the game dramatically.
Yeah, it would have. I don't think it was anywhere nearly as egregious where it was just obvious. That one, to me, a penalty like that, and he didn't hang off of it. It was definitely should have been called a penalty. Those get missed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
You can't miss somebody getting targeted and pass interference 3 feet in front of a referee in that spot, Russ.
There's no doubt the Saints got screwed, and they have
screwed with their pants
the
on.
Legitimate beef of all legitimate beefs. But – that being said, you do have to admire the Rams' ability to take a punch. Because the Saints came out and threw a haymaker at them in the first quarter, and it looked like they were about to get run out of there.
Their defense kept them in it, holding those two field
goals. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and That's a great defensive line.
I am looking forward to young Aaron Donald getting to introduce himself to Tom Brady, hopefully violently and at maximum speed.
Saints or the Rams.
Aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
And many people call him the GOAT. I call him the FOAT, the faux GOAT. Tom Brady.
He's lousy. I don't know what to say. You never get many degrees a GOAT because his early rings were during the Spygate era.
You know what Tom Brady is?
He picked himself up a couple, and he plays in the worst division in all of the NFL.
It is.
He's got no competition.
It is amazing, though. You look at all these divisions throughout the NFL that are just absolutely terrible. The AFC South was terrible for a while. The NFC West was terrible for a while. And then those teams get up. The AFC East is constantly sucked, except for the Patriots.
They've had the easiest road to the playoffs year after year. 15
years.
They had tape on everybody, signals, all that stuff. So they can cram it up their wazoo as far as I'm concerned.
You know who Tom Brady is? He's handsome Rich Gannon. He's handsome Rich Gannon. Pretty good player, longevity, you know, quality, you know, great arm, great leadership capabilities and everything. If he had been drafted by the Cardinals, he would have been Rich Gannon. And guess what? Speaking of the Cardinals, if Carson Palmer had been drafted by the Patriots, he'd be Tom Brady. Like, you talk about being born on third base, man. Like, a guy that, you know, you get drafted by the greatest coach of his era.
Dude, he makes out with his dad. Come on. That's weird.
You have – he gets to play 1 year with the best receiver of all time, which, ironically, they ended up not winning the Super Bowl that year. He's got the greatest tight end of all time. Always has an elite defense behind him. Always has a collection of serviceable to great running backs. Always has a good offensive line in front of him.
And because he plays in that weak sauce division, he's always got home field.
Anyway, whatever it is, what it is.
Lots
of talk about the NFL overtime format. And people say, you got to give the other team a chance with the ball. It should never come down to a coin toss, which is the argument we had forever. When I was growing up, when you didn't have, you know, if they kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance.
Back in the day, they used to, you'd flip the coin, kick it off, and if they ran it back, sorry.
Yeah.
It used to happen quite a bit. That was always the worst for your team.
Should the other team automatically, even if the team that wins the toss gets a touchdown, should they get a chance?
I have a way to fix it.
Oh, God.
Seriously.
Okay.
Here's what you do. Just set up a 10-minute or 15-minute, whatever you want to do, overtime period.
Uh-huh.
This is strictly for the playoffs. I mean, hey, you can do it in the regular season, though. Whoever's got the ball at the end of the game just retains possession of the ball going into overtime. Huh. And the overtime period lasts, that's the quarter.
Wait, did you think of this?
Yeah, swear to God I did.
So the Patriots Patriots still would have had the ball?
No. The Chiefs could have just ran out the clock there at the fourth quarter and gone into overtime. Or no, they had to kick it off. Yeah, because they kicked the field goal to tie it, right?
Yeah. And the Patriots took a knee.
Yeah. The Patriots would have had the ball first.
Which, so how does that change anything?
It doesn't, but it makes it more fair because it's not a damn coin flip, and then you play the entire 15-minute quarter. Or 10 if you think it's too long.
Which, what happens if it's tied at the end of the quarter?
You play another quarter.
I don't like your idea.
Why? It's fair.
I think the coin toss is fair.
Fair, isn't it, Ryan? Seems pretty fair. Yeah, see?
You're getting the new guy to agree with
you. Well, no, because he's not prejudiced by all of your all's program of just slander and all the stuff you all do to me. You can stick that where the sun don't shine, Rick. Flip me off.
Which I thought the Chiefs should have thrown the ball to the end zone one more time.
Me
I don't
too.
Know. I don't
11
know
seconds.
Why
nah.
They didn't. Why?
I know why they didn't.
Why would you not?
11 but, seconds. Three
because
strip
Because New England was rushing three and had the picket fence out there in the end zone. The only thing that was going to happen there is an interception. I totally get why they did what they did. The big problem was I felt they wasted a timeout.
They did?
Yeah.
On the first play? I thought the first play when he rolls out and hits the guy up to about the 40-yard line?
The first one. The challenge that Andy Reid threw.
Oh.
Because they weren't
earlier
gonna get
in the
that.
Game, yeah. Not on the last drive.
Yeah, because if they'd had one more timeout, that could have forced – it would have forced New England to play them more honestly on defense. But, you know, these things happen. The most egregious thing in that game was that Phantom roughing the passer penalty. And that's the one that I think if you see definitive proof that he did not hit him in the face or in the head – It should have taken it off the board.
Quick timeout. The drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. We'll back. We'll finish unpacking the wild day in the NFL yesterday and get back to Tennessee's number one ranked college basketball team when we continue here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. The Drive.
Patrick has an NFL sudden death plan.
Is it as good as mine?
I don't know. I don't know what to think of yours is far out, and this one's maybe even more far out. It's, I mean,
why is mine far? I'm just saying, just add another quarter.
But that introduces such a different level of strategery into the game. Do we just kind of hold on to the ball and in a tight game, you know, just run it and keep that clock running and just so we can have the ball at the end rather than try and go score?
Well,
I want to see a team
try and
go score.
If you are tied.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't. I mean.
All right, how about this?
All right, let me hear
Patrick
what Patrick says.
Is. One possession only, overtime. If the offense scores, they win. If the defense gets a stop, they win. Both teams have a fair chance. Coin toss winner decides if they want to score or defend.
Yeah, see, it doesn't work in a game like last night because I think whoever got the ball first last night was winning because those defenses were completely roached.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for different games, right? But if it's a 6-3 defensive struggle, then obviously you go defense, right? I mean, it depends on who you're playing.
That one intrigues me, but I like mine better.
But doesn't also
that's completely alien to the game that they just played.
If this system is correct, because it changes it a little bit because you're not playing to bend but don't break because then a field goal wins it as well. I mean, you've got to stop the other team. I don't know, man. There's not a great way to put it.
I think mine would have been fantastic for last night. Patriots would have had the ball. We would have gotten to see Patrick Mahomes. Are you a believer in him? Because a lot of people are drinking his Kool-Aid.
Go over yours again. Because Mahomes still wouldn't have got the ball.
Yeah, he would have.
Yours is a
how much
sudden
time?
Death.
No, mine is not sudden
death. You play
death.
The whole quarter?
You play the whole damn quarter.
Okay.
If you don't want it to be 15 minutes, then make it 10.
And if it's tied at the end of the quarter, you play another one?
If you're in the playoffs, you have to. You keep playing until there's a winner.
I feel like at some point it has to reach sudden death, or you could be playing.
How about this? Borrow.
What do they do in baseball?
Hear me out. We borrow a page from soccer.
No.
Hold on. Hear me out.
No.
Hear me out.
No.
Hear me out.
I'm with Rick.
Hear me out. You play an overtime period like you're talking about, and if it's tied at the end, you go to a shootout. Field goal kicks starting at the 20, moving 5-yard backs, first team to miss, loses.
I think it should be 10. Moves 10 yards
put
back.
Put the foot back in football.
No.
You started at the 20. Team, you know, you coin toss or whatever, decide who – who has the first kick, second kick, he makes it. The other team makes it. You move it back 5 yards, 10 yards, whatever you want.
We're not going to let
make
the
it. Make it. Move it back another 10 yards until
the that, game. That's Russ. A better idea than what yours was. You just let them if it's tied.
Better idea than what yours was, Bear.
Oh, he makes a great point there.
If it's tied, you just keep playing and keep playing.
Yeah.
You said like baseball. There's a reason baseball is declining in popularity, Bear.
They go extra inning games. You keep going until you can't go no more.
No. No.
I kind of like my field goal kicker idea.
I think you're a dullard. It's the silliest thing I've ever
heard. If I had just brought that out without saying take a page from soccer, he would have thought this was a great idea.
No. Although that did hurt it right out of the gate.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the shootouts in hockey, shootouts in soccer. It's intense.
Yeah, but I will not back that.
The kicking game is important.
It's a load of crap.
What, the kicking game?
Yeah, I think it's way its ability to impact the game is.
I remember that Maxim. Crap on the kicking game. It's not that important. What are you doing? It's the general.
You're gaslighting again.
You're just taking a shot at his legacy.
No, I'm not.
Why do you have to just trample all over our traditions, Bear?
Why do you always try every afternoon to Jedi mind trick the audience into thinking that I said something I didn't say?
I mean, you might as well have just thrown...
What is he? I mean,
Peyton's jersey out here in the muddy fan run parking lot and stomped all over it.
Bear, for whatever it's worth, my mom says that she likes your idea.
Well, there you have it. Mama work in the Bears' corner.
Now I can't argue against it.
No, you cannot.
I'm trashing.
Go ahead.
Brandon's mom.
No, go ahead. I mean, I'm still against it. I don't think it's a good idea.
His dad would walk down here and from up there at Bent Spoon Road and walk down here and stomp you. I'd cheer him on. Have you met Brandon's dad?
Yes, he's a lovely human being. And his mom's nice too. But she's dead wrong on this overtime thing. And she needs to leave it to the professionals.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up. Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio.